Good morning. My name is Dean Behrens. I'm one of the pastors here. Happy Father's Day to all of you who are fathers, have a father, or know a father. Does that cover pretty much everyone? Thank you. This morning, we're going to continue in our series on Proverbs. So we did 8 weeks on Proverbs last summer. We're going to do another 8-ish weeks on Proverbs this summer. And the key theme in the book of Proverbs is wisdom. Very good. Okay, you guys have been paying attention. All right, so the idea here is that some decisions that we have to make in life have a clear moral rightness or wrongness. You know, you may come to some decision and you have to ask yourself, like, what is the morally right thing or wrong thing to do here? That covers a handful of decisions that we have to make in our lives. Another handful of decisions that we have to make in our lives, you become a lot easier if you are able to gather the right amount, enough of the right information, right? A decision can become a lot easier if you just zero in, if you learn the right facts that helps you to make an educated decision in life. However, there is a whole host of other decisions that we have to make in our lives. I would argue the majority of decisions that we have to make in our lives that need some other thing. You know, we need a third thing. We can't just simply like rely on our moral compass, and we can't just seek out and find the right or more information. We need what the Bible calls wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is the key to navigating all the gray areas of life. And so today we're going to be talking about wisdom, and because it's Father's Day, we're going to be talking about how it relates to our families and to fathers and to the multiple generations that we have. And so we're going to start this morning. We sat down earlier this month with four dads from Christ Church for kind of an extended interview about how their fathering and their faith intersect in their lives. And it turned out to be a really powerful conversation. So let's watch this together.
My fathering impacts my faith almost in some ways more than my faith impacts my fathering. And what I mean by that is that as I father, I end up learning more about God and hopefully, you know, become a better person and, you know, follow Jesus more closely.
Being a father, raising children, is one of the most impactful ways to relate and to connect to God. In this special edition of Christ Church Stories, we asked four fathers in various stages of parenting to have a discussion with us about being a Christian father.
Just as we go, can you remind us how old your kids are?
That's a great idea. I'm divorced and remarried two Nancys, you know? So
wait, both of your wives are Nancy?
Yeah, they're both named Nancy.
Huh. So, Anthony, what do you make of that?
We'll talk later.
See you later this week.
I have a 28-year-old daughter, Rachel, who lives in Chicago, 24-year-old who lives in St. Louis, and then Lainey's 14, and Drew's 12. Last two, obviously, with second Nancy. And so,
I have one Kristen, and we have four kids, 19, 17, 13, and 9. And just have the one girl and three boys, and the girl's 13. So,
I have one Meg, and then we have a 6-year-old Porter, and then a 2.5-year-old Graham. So both boys.
And Leslie is my wife. Really, 13, 12, 10, 9, and 4, and then a 7-year-old coming.
We weren't very sure of what to expect by putting four men in a room to talk about their kids. Some of these men hadn't even met before this evening. However, they quickly began sharing stories of joys and of challenges.
When our first daughter was born, I don't know why I had this in my head, but like, I thought like diaper to wipe was supposed to be like a 1-to-1 ratio. And I just remember like I don't know why, but
it
like
can
I thought,
be. I
like,
mean, it only, can be, but.
Yeah, but I thought you could only use like one wipe per diaper change. And so it was like, I'm constantly like folding this thing up smaller and smaller. And like, there's no reason to think that. And then, you know, by, of course, like our fifth child, I was just like hosing them off, basically. Like,
walk me through internally, like some of the most stretching
challenging moments that you've experienced as being a dad?
You know, when they're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you can kind of align their goals with your goals, right? You can tell them what their goals are. But when they get to be 12, 13, 14, they have their own goals, right? And if they struggle with stuff at school, you know, anxiety, whatever it is, you know, it's a really challenge to know how much do you push, you know, and try to shepherd them, parent them, whatever it is.
One of the hardest things is when your kid's going through something difficult and you and your spouse see things differently. And you have to work on negotiating that thing, and it starts putting strain on you guys, you know, your relationship.
Well, just think if you got two of them.
Dead serious.
All right, I feel better now.
Hey, no, I mean, yeah. Dead serious. I know what you're feeling, and that's one of the only reasons I say multiply it by two, and then it gets to be a real trick.
These men had different personalities and different backgrounds, but it was clear that their hearts all shared the same dedication to two main things, their families and their faith.
If you weren't a Christian, how would you be a different dad? Would it change how you parent in any significant way?
That's a good way to put it. The influence that God has had in my life and being around other Christians, I have to tell you, being around you, because I know you better in many respects, it's made a big difference. It's made me think about everything I do.
I mean, I've spent this time on Alpha, which is a great ministry, and I've seen people, the reason they love Christ, the reason their faith is real is because of their experiences. We intentionally tried to do things that where our kids will experience God at work, because I think that's what makes their faith real. So whether it's, you know, at the food pantry or harvesters or mission trips, or we try to get them to lay hands on, pray for everything early on so they can see, you know, they can experience God doing something.
When you pray for your kids, what do you pray for?
That they follow in God's footsteps. For some reason, that's always an image in my, like, footsteps on a beach, right? And the God has laid the path for them, and I'm doing as much as I can to get them on the beach.
Also, since they're getting to be 17 and 19, you know, I'm starting to think about, well, you know, what kind of spouse can I start to pray for, you know, and what kind of, where will they be, and will they stay close to us, you know, and all those things. So I just start praying, you know, as they get a little older, just that they'll be okay when they get out on their own.
I have a couple of them that are totally questioning the whole thing. And let me tell you how hard that is. That's been what I have been focusing on, believe it or not, is God, you know, can you be and show them the way as they can discover, rediscover, or have the faith that we've believed that we modeled and brought them up. Because, you know, when your kids are questioning their faith in God, that's really hard. What did I do wrong? What did I not do right? Did I got divorced? You start going down that path, and as a father, then you're going, well, you're a screw up. So
that sounds hard.
It is hard. Intellectually, you know you're not a screw-up, but emotionally, that's how you feel, and your emotions can rule you. And because I can't fix it, only God can fix it. Sorry to digress.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's easy to judge our parenting on how our kids are doing in the moment. And it's so easy to be very selfish about it, because sometimes I worry more about how that makes me look as a parent than I am even worried about the kids.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a real struggle because you want to appear to have everything in order, you know, and everything's great at your house, you know, and if you start sharing, even in a group like this, you start sharing parenting challenges, which I could sit here for a couple hours and tell you guys all my parenting challenges. Naturally, like you said, you start to think, oh, what are they going to think of me as a father, you know, and as a person, and whereas a Christian, you ought to feel good about telling all your, you know, everybody what's going on and them being there for you and praying for you, but that's just not... A lot of times that's
not
the way
it's hard to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not the way it comes out.
I know in my better moments, you know, I am reminding myself that, like, God is at work in my kid's life, no matter how much I screw up. That is very helpful. And I think that's true, too, you know. Trusting that makes me end up being a better parent.
To be the parents that our children need, it takes overcoming the guilt and the judgments and trusting our Heavenly Father. Only by listening to Him can we learn to listen to our kids. And only by seeking His wisdom can we even attempt to help guide them through wherever they are in life. We may have started this discussion with no expectations, but after listening to these fathers, a couple of things were made clear. First, the burdens of parenting can be heavy, but God has given us each other to share these burdens and to encourage one another. And second, children can consume our minds and hearts, but we can trust our loving, gracious Father to provide for us. After all, we are His children, and we need Him.
And so I feel like if I could learn to just, you know, step back when I need to and just trust that God has it covered, you know, which I know He does, but I need to trust God more with my kids.
I love that, Jimmy, because it's really easy to parent out of fear. You know, it's normal because we care about our kids so much, but it's not a great place to parent out of, and we're not our best when we parent out that way.
It's not something that's on my shoulders, and I have to provide the solution, right? So here's your solution. I'm the father. You take this and you run with it. No, He's the father, right? I'm helping guide you. I'm helping advise you through it. So not just me. I'm not the only father in the situation.
This video is going to be great. We got it answered, right? All we have to do is be there and trust God. That's how you be a father.
So it'll be
right?
A 30-second video,
there,
right? Okay,
trust
cool.
God.
Four words.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. Really grateful to those guys for their thoughtfulness and their vulnerability. And this morning, I want to connect these two ideas, wisdom and fathering. And so we're going to do that by looking at this passage of scripture that Jeannie read for us this morning from Proverbs. And so would you grab that? Would you pull it out? We're going to kind of work through it a little bit at a time. It's on page 5. So this proverb that we're about to read was written from the perspective of a father to his children. Which is really cool. Like, you may not realize it, but there's not a lot of stuff like that in the Bible. And so it's really helpful that we have this wisdom for us. And I would just encourage you, I think this text has a lot of insight for dads, but I think it also has a lot of insight for moms, for grandparents, for honestly anyone that like interacts with the younger generations and stuff. And so I think you'll find that it has application for all of us. So I want to touch on three things that I think are present here in this passage, and I want to start, I'm calling the first one, the passing on of wisdom. So I want to start by reading just those first couple of verses. Listen, children, to a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts, do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, and my mother's favorite, he taught me, and he said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Remember, what you have here is a father writing to his children, and as he does so, he's talking not only about passing on wisdom from himself to his children, but he's reflecting as an adult about the way that his father passed on wisdom to him. What the Bible teaches is that it is good and healthy for parents and adults to pass on wisdom from generation to generation. But if wisdom is being passed down from one generation to the next, there are two implicit messages there. Number one is that we have wisdom, right? You cannot pass on something that you yourself do not possess. And number two, the other implicit message, is that those that you're attempting to pass it on to need wisdom. So let's talk briefly about those two things. First, do we have wisdom? Do we have wisdom? I think the answer is yes, in many regards. I mean, I know many of you, and I think that there are many of us that have had life experiences that have shaped us. Many of us have been Christians for a long time, and God has grown us in really significant ways that have really, really helped us and given us wisdom that we can now pass on to the next generations. I was talking to a friend of mine this week who's older. His kids are grown, and he was expressing to me that he wishes that he has this, he believes that he has this wisdom for his adult children. But he has this frustration that his children are not coming to him to seek that wisdom. Anybody ever feel like that? You know, there's something to be said about that. You know, people like in my generation especially, like, will look to our peers or look to like internet blogs or something like that for the latest wisdom on any given subject, when maybe one of the things that we ought to be considering is the wisdom of those who are closest to us, who are maybe even in our own families, who have something to offer us. I think that's a good word for us. So yes, we do have wisdom, but we also, in many ways, are lacking wisdom, aren't we? And I don't mean like two categories here. There are those of us that have wisdom and those of us that don't. I mean that all of us have wisdom and are lacking wisdom, right? Many of us, as we face the complexities of parenting, no matter how old our children are, feel at times desperate and ill-equipped. That's what I feel like I heard in that video from those guys. There are times where you're like, Lord, I do not know what to do. I am lost. I need help. I need wisdom in this area, in this situation, especially in this area of parenting. I know that I personally have felt like that as a dad. There are times where I'm like, what am I doing? Like, how can I possibly shape these children that the Lord has given me into, like, you know, healthy, stable, good Christian? You know, it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I think all of us both possess wisdom in some regards and are lacking wisdom in other regards. That's the first implicit message about passing on wisdom. Do we have it? Secondly, do our kids need it? Now, is there any question in this room that we feel like, don't laugh too hard back there, your kids are here. Is there any question that we feel like our kids need wisdom? Man, I believe wholeheartedly that they do, you know? The world, man, is changing so quickly. And kids these days, well, hold on, I promised I would never start saying kids these days, sorry. But things are just changing so fast, and kids have to, like, learn how to navigate this new world all the time. You know, like, a kid, do you realize, like, a kid graduating high school this year probably does not remember at all a life without these. And I'm not just talking about cell phones in general, like the old school ones. I'm talking about smartphones. Kids graduating high school now have not known life without these. Like, this access, constant access, 24 access to entertainment and information, like, in their pockets, demanding their attention all of the time. They need wisdom for that. You know, and I'm not like an anti-tech guy. Like, I love technology. I use technology. But I do, as a father, I do find myself questioning, like, what is the place of technology in my life and in the life of my family? I'm actually reading this book right now, The Tech-Wise Family by Andy Crouch. It's just really helpful. The tagline, putting technology in its proper place in our families. This has been really helpful. I'm currently working through it right now. If you, as a parent, or if you know somebody that would love a book like this, I encourage you to get it. But not just with technology, right? Our kids have to figure out how to navigate a world where the culture, like, sends them all kinds of crazy messages about, like, sexuality and morality and on and on and on. Our kids desperately need wisdom. And we too need it. So that's first, the passing on of wisdom. Number two, the promise of wisdom. The promise of wisdom for our kids. Why do we need it? Why do we as parents need it? And why do our kids need it? Let's read the next couple of verses, starting in verse 5. And as I read through this, would you listen for, or even if you're the type of person that underlines, I'd encourage you to do that. I'm one of those people. Would you listen for the promises of wisdom in these coming verses? What are the promises of wisdom? Here we go, verse 5. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. That's the first one. She'll keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever else you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a fair garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. My child, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all flesh. These are the promises of wisdom for us and for our children. This is like a poem about how valuable and profound wisdom can be in our lives. If our kids can gain wisdom, then it will keep them. It will guard them. It will exalt and honor them. It will like unfetter them so that they can run without stumbling. They will thrive. It will be their life. It will shine in and through them, and it can heal all of them. What can possibly live up and fulfill those promises? What in life can exalt you and honor you and set you free to run through life? Isn't this what we desperately want for our children, no matter how old they are, young or grown? Isn't this what we want? This is what I want for my children. Not for them to be bogged down in life, but to be lifted up, to be exalted and honored. Not to kind of trudge through life, limping along, struggling to put one foot in front of the other, but to run without stumbling, to thrive, to experience healing and life. This is what we want for our kids. And if the Bible tells us that wisdom can do that, I am all ears. How do I get it? Well, I'm going to tease that answer and get back to that in a second. I want to speak just for a second to the dads especially. As I was spending time in this passage this week, I feel like this was just kind of impressed upon me from this passage in Proverbs. I want to share it with you guys. Dads, did you notice how many times the word heart is mentioned in this passage? I'm sure you didn't, so I'll tell you. It's six. Six times the writer of Proverbs, this dad to his child, talks about the heart of his children. The heart. I'm going to read just the last couple of verses, and in it are three of those mentions about the heart. Starting in verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, the dad says, for from it flow the springs of life. My child, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. My soul will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. My child, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. I think the writer of Proverbs here is making a point that wisdom enters through and resides in the human heart. It's in our hearts. And dads, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge myself. What I notice with myself and with many dads that I know is that we can often get a little preoccupied with the behaviors of our children, right? We can focus a little bit too much on those things. Are they doing the right things? Are they becoming more responsible, more successful, more disciplined? I know I often consume myself with what is on the outside of my children. And look, dads, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Like, that's super important. Maybe in our culture now, more important than ever. And the Bible teaches that too. I could have pulled a reading from Proverbs that talks about explicitly like working on the outward behavior of your children. But in this passage, it says it's also important that you focus on the hearts of your kids. The hearts of your kids. We need to investigate what is happening on the inside of our children. We need to get in touch with and begin to shape not only our kids' behaviors, but also their hearts. After all, this passage and many other passages of the Bible affirm that it is out of the heart that behavior and other things flow. It flows from the heart. That's the source. So, dads, this might mean talking some with your kids about the why of behavior as much as the what of behavior. Why is it that you want them to act in this certain way? Is it because you want them to become the type of person who... Dads, it might mean gentle, probing questions into how your kids are feeling about their friends, their life, their faith. Dads, it may too require some vulnerability on your part. You may need to open up your heart to your kids, sharing what is really going on your inside. Open your heart to your kids and invest some of your energy into caring for their hearts. I know this is getting a little cheesy. I promise we're not going to end with like Cats in the Cradle today, okay? I think you get the point though. Wisdom enters through and resides in the human heart. So if you want to be successful in passing on wisdom to your kids, to the next generation, you must invest not only in their behaviors, but also in their hearts. Last point, the person of wisdom, the person. The writer of Proverbs here is making a point which is lost on most of us in a forest for the trees kind of way. There's something here in this reading that if you were to read it to a child, I think, and ask for their observations, I think they would pick it up right away, but many of us miss it. Let me illustrate. In verse 6, it says about wisdom, "Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you." Did you catch that the writer of this Proverbs is not speaking about wisdom as a thing? Wisdom is personified. Wisdom is a person. Wisdom is a person. Now, is this just a clever literary device? I don't think so. What if wisdom really is a person? A person that you can know. Parents, grandparents, as you are like navigating the difficulties of life and parenting, what if it's not a book that you subscribe to, but a person that will walk with you through those difficulties? What if for kids, what if it's not just another set of rules for them to follow? What if wisdom instead is a person that wants to walk alongside them and guide them through life? This is the kind of wisdom that we need. It's a person. It's a deeply loving and warm, truth-telling and firm, forgiving and grace-filled Father. That is wisdom. That's wisdom. What if, just as the guys in the video said, we all have a perfect Father and He is after our hearts? Friends, we have access to that Father because of His Son, our Lord. Jesus took our humiliation upon Himself so that we could be honored and exalted. Jesus took on Himself a hideous crown of thorns so that, just as the passage says, we instead could be crowned not with thorns, but with a beautiful crown of life. Jesus took upon Himself our darkness so that, as the passage says, He can shine brighter and brighter in and through us. Jesus took on our pain so that, as the passage says, we can be healed. And Jesus took our death so that, just as the passage says, we can have life. this is the promise for you and for your children and for all those who are far off. Amen.